This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, it was a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. It's Patricia Schultz's book called 1,000 Places to See in the United States and Canada Before You Die. How many of you have read that? Anybody? Isn't that interesting? Not one hand went up. Do people read? I mean, is there anything here? No one raised their hand in the first service. I'll have to write this author and said, nobody. It's a senior book. It's a number one bestseller. She followed it up with a book called 1,000 Places in the World to Visit Before You Die. And, of course, going from the United States and Canada then to the world, it limited the number of places in this country that she could pick and say, that's where you need to go. Ohio only has one listing. Every state's listed with, you know, one, two, three, four listings. Do you know what the one place she said you've got to see before you die? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum in Cleveland. I haven't been there. How many of you have been there? You don't read, but you've all been to the Rock and Roll. That is a sin. That is a sin. You've all been to the Rock and Roll Museum and Hall of Fame. It's incredible. I want to talk to you today about another place. And I purposely left it blank. A second look at a place called what? It's not a physical place. It's very much a spiritual place. And I'm going to say this very dramatically, but I believe it to be true. You need to go to this place before you die, or it's really serious, the consequences. It's a place called repentance. A place called repentance. We're going to talk about a word that's been made fun of in our culture. You see the man with the beard and the white robe in the cartoons holding up a sign, repent or else. And in our culture, we make fun of people who call people to repentance, but it's a great biblical word. And even the dictionary, I have to tell you, on your phone will be wrong. It'll say repentance means contrition. It includes that, but that's not what it means biblically. It's the word metanoia, which means to turn or to change your mind. Repentance means to turn away from something and turn to something. It means to change your mind about God. It means to change your mind about your sin. And there is no life without repentance, and I can prove it today. There is no life without going to a place called repentance. We're in 2 Corinthians. That's why the windows are up here, the series Through the Looking Glass. We're still in chapter 7, verse 8 through 10, and then Acts 17, 30. It goes like this. Paul says, even if I caused you sorrow in my letter, referring to a past letter to the church at Corinth, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while, yet now I am happy. Not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Here's the key verse. This is the one you got to go home with, verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation or life. Salvation means life, life eternal. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow brings death. Do you see why it's not just enough to say, I'm sorry for what I've done? You have to have repentance, which means to turn, to change, to look at God in a new way, to look at your sin in a new way. Well, all this week, a message from 2 Corinthians called A Place Called Repentance. Before you and I die, we both need to go to a place called repentance. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any message you've heard on Cross Hope. God bless you. Well, I don't know what you think of when you think of the word repentance. Many people today think of repentance as some archaic, old-fashioned, out-of-date word that was used in the last century or even before. Repentance is a good biblical word that means to turn 180 degrees. We're in 2 Corinthians 7, looking at godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. There's a difference. We talk about both today.
on Cross Hope. This is part two of a message on repentance.
I want to talk about the two kinds of sorrow, first of all. What is worldly sorrow? Can I put it bluntly to you? It's where you're sorry you got caught. You're sorry somebody found out about the deal. You're sorry somebody figured it out at work what you were doing that was wrong or maybe even illegal. You're sorry about what has happened in your life, or you're sorry for the consequences of what you set in motion, but you're not really sorry for what you did. You're sorry because you got caught, or you're sorry because of the consequences. That is worldly sorrow. I got news to tell you where that leads. Death. Paul said worldly sorrow leads to death. Spiritual death is what he's talking about. But godly sorrow leads to repentance that leads to salvation. What's godly sorrow? Godly sorrow is when you're sorry ultimately because you know that sin put Christ on the cross. Godly sorrow is that you're sorry that you wounded the Father. Every sin is a wound against the Father. I hope you know that. You didn't just sin against your wife or your husband. You didn't just sin against your parents. You didn't just sin against your kids. We sin against the Father, and that is the most spiritual moment in a man or woman's life, in my opinion, is when they're alone, when you're driving down the freeway, you're up at 3 a.m, doesn't matter, and you recognize this, I have sinned against God. That is a holy Kodak moment. When you recognize that there's godly sorrow in your life, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and no regret. No regret. You know, I've talked about this before. We live in a culture that laughs at sin. You can try this experiment this week. Watch any situational comedy and you'll see a comedy, perhaps. I'll give you some examples. I've seen these where somebody comes home dead drunk or high on drugs. And you know what people are doing? You hear a laugh track. People are laughing because he's stumbling home drunk or she's stumbling home drunk. And I've always said this, it's not funny if it's your dad. Not funny if it's your mom. It's not funny if it's your wife or your husband or one of your kids. It's not funny. Why? Sin loses its sense of humor when it involves someone you love. Sin loses its sense of humor when it involves someone you love. I've seen situation comedies, and so have you, where a husband is so stupid that he doesn't see that his wife is having an affair, or the wife is so stupid, she doesn't see it, and all that's couched around it is the humor around that, and everybody's laughing, and you hear the laugh track, as I mentioned earlier, and it's funny. And again, it ain't funny if it's your spouse. It's not funny if it's somebody you know and love. Why? Because sin loses its sense of humor when it involves someone you know, and ultimately sin has lost its humor with God the Father, who sent his Son to die on a cross for your sin and mine. God never laughs at sin. Why? Put his Son on the cross. You'll never hear an example of Jesus laughing at a situation comedy about sin. Why? Because sin put him on the cross. And that's what it means to have godly sorrow, to recognize what sin does. It's a wound against the Father.
Well, we'll continue this message on the subject of a place called repentance tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Have you ever had the experience of asking somebody, tell me what you think my faults are? Be careful. Don't do it, maybe. Ken Chafin, Dr. Ken Chafin, was the president of the Southern Baptist denomination, whatever they call it, group. He said when he was in high school, his senior year, he developed a warm friendship with a girl who served with him on student council. He said it was a genuine friendship. There was no romantic overtones. He said, I honestly wasn't interested in her. She wasn't interested in me. But he said, one day after school, we were sitting on the steps of the school building, and I said, Mary Lou, we're good friends. So I think I can ask you this question, and you'll answer me honestly. Tell me some ways in which I can improve myself. Mary Lou was reluctant to respond. Have you ever been in this situation? Oh, I don't want to talk. Let's just don't go there. I don't want to answer that question. They went back and forth. Mary Lou, come on, tell me. And finally, he got what he wanted. She told him what she thought, and he said he was shocked at her answer as she mentioned several specific things. I was floored by her response, he says, and it put a real strain on our friendship from that day forward. I learned the hard way how difficult it is sometimes to hear the truth. You know where people hear the truth? Not just from their family, and not just from their parents, and not just from a son or daughter, although that can happen. I believe people hear truth in this place. And in places like this, and on the radio, and they hear a message, and they hear the Word of God, and it's like one of these lights is shining right on them, and it's called conviction, it's called godly sorrow that leads to repentance, that leads to salvation. That's what it is. And if God has confronted you in the last week, the last month, the last 6 months, the last year by something that you've heard, do you know what you do? God, thank you. Thank you for confronting me. Thank you for confronting me with the truth of your word, because I may have never realized that sin is a wound against the Father. I may have never realized what I was doing to my life. I want us to bring up a second scripture that's from the book of Acts. Paul is speaking to the people in Athens, Greece, and he says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. God commands all people everywhere to repent. Do you know what that means, that he commands it? It's not a suggestion. I'm not offering you a suggestion. It's going to make your life a little better if you repent of sin in your life. It's a command, where Paul was telling the people of Athens, who were really thought they were intellectual. They had an idol to an unknown God. And he said, God has called you people to repent, everywhere to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ. Repentance was the first step to turn. Let me ask you this question. What is it that today in your heart of hearts, you know, I need to repent? I need to turn. I don't need to feel just guilty. I don't need to just feel sorry. I don't need to feel contrition. Those are important elements, of course. But I need to turn 180 degrees. Repentance involves turning away from something and turning towards something. What is it, question, what is it you need to turn away from and turn to? I guarantee it involves the Lord. It involves His Word.
Well, I honestly hope you can listen to tomorrow's program on Crosshope. Let me tell you why. It's the most powerful story that I have ever shared on the word repentance. I really mean that. Tune in tomorrow. If you can't, go to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to hear this week's message or any message for that matter that you heard on Crosshope. That's crosshope.org. God bless you.
I want to share this story with you that it's an example of a story, and I do this often, where I read a story to you or share a story only to lead up to the last sentence or two. That's what this story is about. It's told by Sean Hopwood. He said, it may surprise some people reading this article to know that I grew up in a Christian home in rural Nebraska with parents who helped start a church. When my high school basketball career faded and college and military fell through, I was left with a complete lack of purpose, susceptible to addiction and depression. When my equally adrift friend suggested that we rob a bank, it struck me as a good idea. See how thinking can be skewed when we're not in the right relationship with the Lord? Let's rob a bank. Not a bad idea. We robbed 5 banks with guns, scared the tellers and patrons half to death. I knew it was wrong, but still I couldn't stop the easy money and the party lifestyle that large sums of unearned money brought me. It didn't stop until the FBI tackled me inside the lobby of a DoubleTree hotel in Omaha. A year later, I stood with shaky legs and a trembling spirit before a federal judge who sentenced me to more than 12 years in federal prison. I was 23 years old. Now, I'm going to condense a lot of this. He goes to prison for 12 years, gets interested in law. When he was released, he reunited with an old girlfriend named Ann that he'd met in high school. They decided they wanted to get married, so they go to a minister named Marty to see about marrying them. And here's what he says. Our first counseling session was, in a word, memorable. Instead of talking about our wedding or marriage, Marty asked what we believed about Jesus. When he talked about grace and the free gift of salvation, I listened, especially when he said that I could be forgiven. Yeah, even you, Sean. Even you, Sean, he said. The next day, I couldn't escape the feeling that God had been pursuing me for a long time, and that if I would just abandon my stubbornness and my selfishness and hand everything over to him, maybe, just maybe, I would find redemption. I love this next line. What does it mean to be redeemed? And how do you redeem yourself after robbing five banks? You know what his answer is? You don't. You don't redeem yourself after robbing five banks. The answer is you need help. You need help. God's grace was enough to redeem me. He says, 5 years have passed since I made that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Ann and I got married. She too became a believer. We were baptized together at a church in Omaha. We have a son named Mark and a daughter named Grace. We moved from Nebraska to Seattle so I could attend the University of Washington Law School on a full-ride scholarship from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. During that time, I volunteered in helping people with legal issues who are in prison. Now, after I graduate, he says, this spring, we will move to D.C., Washington, D.C., where I will begin clerking for a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. Now, here's the paragraph. I read all of that just to read this. Through it all, from the amazing to the mundane, God loved us. Through it all, God has given us a purpose. And here's the sentence. For me, that purpose revolves around repentance. God's purpose for him revolved around the repentance, to change his mind about his sin and to change his mind about God. Loving my wife, loving my children, sharing the grace I've been given, and now I will use my legal knowledge to assist those who cannot afford an attorney. Looking back over the course of my life, I can see that although I rarely returned the favor, God hotly pursued me.
Well, all this week on our radio program, we're talking about repentance. Its title of it is A Place Called Repentance. There may be many places that you want to visit before you die, and maybe you've even said, I want to go here, I want to go there before I die. I pray that you go to a place called repentance. We talk about that today at the end of the message by quoting Acts 3:19 that says this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Today we talk about what that verse means as we conclude this message on repentance.
It's interesting, in Christian churches and churches like ours, we talk about the first gospel sermon, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, and talk about baptism as we should, and encourage people to obey the Lord in baptism. But isn't it interesting, it is to me, that the first word Peter says when people said, what should we do? He said, repent. Repent. Why? Nothing else matters if you don't repent. It doesn't matter getting wet if you don't repent. It doesn't matter that you are put in water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as important as that is, if there's no repentance, a change of mind toward God and a change of mind toward your sin. It starts with repentance. That's why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. 1,000 places to visit in the world before you die. 1,000 places to visit in the United States, in Canada, before you die, according to this author named Schultz. I want to talk to you about the place that some of you need to visit today. It's called A Place Called Repentance. Because without it, there is no life. And without going to a place called repentance, there is no forgiveness. Without repentance, there is no deliverance. There is no redemption. Because I say so? No, it has nothing to do with me. Because it's God's will for all people to come to repentance. I didn't mention this verse in the first two services, but it just came to me. Acts 3:19, I think, talks about God gives a message of repentance. And so that you can have recovery of breath. You repent so you can have a recovery of breath. And I found out it literally means to be able to breathe again. Times of refreshing is the phrase that's used. It means you can breathe again. You can take a deep breath of air when you've repented of your sin. You can breathe again. You have a freedom to breathe again. Why? Because of the power of repentance in your life. Repenting to a God who loves you, a God who sent his son to die for you, and a God who says through his son, I'm coming back to claim my own. Godly sorrow leads to repentance that leads to salvation. Decide. Decide that those things are going to happen in my life before I die. And the place I'm going to visit before I die may include the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. It may not. But you say, I know, I can tell my family, I've been to a place called repentance. It changed my life. It changed my life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for talking to us today through your word about repentance. It's a word that people make fun of in our culture. We laugh about repentance. It's so outdated, it's so archaic, it's so old school to talk about repentance, and yet it's the very thing that every man in this room needs, every woman in this room needs, every young person. All three services today needs to go to a place called repentance. Remind us of that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's my prayer for you, my friend, that you go to a place called repentance, and I do the same. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.